so I'm going to try and keep it down to the under 15 minutes. So I'm talking about integrating correctional health care in a jail setting with community setting. I have no relationships to disclose. And I'm talking about a program that started in Springfield, Mass., early 1990s. This actually was triggered by the HIV epidemic, and I'm going to kind of jump forward and skip some of the what went into it. But we ended up with our community health centers forming an integrated program based on zip code, which we call Community Integrated Correctional Health Care. It's also been called the Hammond County Model. And we broadened the care from HIV-specific collaborative small program into a program where community health centers worked for doing all of the medical care for folks with chronic conditions. And these are some of the typical chronic conditions, hypertension, hepatitis C, including HIV. And just to jump ahead, if you look at Springfield, these are our 17 neighborhoods in town, and graphed by median income versus annual rates of arrest. So I doubt many folks would be surprised to see the relationship here, extremely linear. And if you look at Springfield community health centers, we have three community health centers in town. We actually have four, but three involved in this. And these are the neighborhoods that they serve. So my health center serves Brightwood here, Memorial. So these are the folks who are getting arrested. And we looked at our adult population at that time. About 5% of our adult population was incarcerated at a given point in time. So what we set up was a collaborative program, and we divided the ongoing medical care within the jail into teams based on the community health center, based on the neighborhoods. People get assigned by zip code to that team, and that team is composed of a primary nurse, one or two physicians who are there for one or two sessions per week, a full-time nurse practitioner or physician assistant, and a case manager. It's the doctor and the case manager who are dually based, and by dually based I mean see folks both on the inside and the outside. The case manager ends up being roughly half time in, half time out. This model's been looked at and built upon and replicated in a number of sites. Probably the biggest site to date is Washington, D.C., Unity Healthcare, where they've taken it to a whole new level, a whole new scale. Marion County is an interesting spot. There, the sheriff actually did not have a community health center to work with and was instrumental in getting a community health center formed for the area so that he would have a partner to collaborate with. Within HIV, there's a number of programs that have already had something like this going. So for HIV-specific care, with continuity, where the folks are coming from the outside, seeing folks while incarcerated, and then following up with them on the outside. And some of those are actually in this SPINS linkages program that I was going to tell you a little bit more about. One of the sites within this SPINS linkages program, which is a HRSA grant that we did 5 years of work on, is New York City, and New York City has been doing a whole bunch of innovative things, but one of the things is using this model for one of the particular jails, and that's something that we've got a number of folks from New York here who can speak to that a little bit more afterwards because it's very interesting. And this is from them. This is looking at New York City, and this is the same, basically the same graph I gave for Springfield. Much more colorful and a whole lot more computer power went into this. So the SPINS grant initiative that I mentioned was a jail linkages program for folks with HIV, and we were one of the multiple sites for doing that, and this is where the evaluation and data that I'm going to share with you comes from. Basically, I'm showing you the local data for our site. So what we did, building on the model that I just described for enhancement, was what we called MHANCE, was mental health enhancement. We did not, prior to this, have dually based mental health providers, and that's what we set up for this program, specifically for the 5 years that we were working on it. And between the social worker, who's also the program manager, the case manager, and the mental health clinician, we had basically a modified ACT sort of structure going on. There was a service component and an assessment component. Within the assessment component, we had 70 folks, and that's who I'm going to share data on. So this is a look at baseline prior to incarceration questionnaire that we gave to folks when they came in. Age 42 mean is higher than our jail average. This kind of reflects the HIV population. The jail population is about 12% women, so we were over the HIV. We were particularly looking to assist women, so somewhat higher there. High Latino population, Springfield. The HIV epidemic is particularly prevalent in the Puerto Rican population. And a very much connected to the criminal justice system. So many prior arrests, prior incarcerations. Looking at medical and mental health background, big message here is a lot of mental health issues. So, for instance, if going down to the ASA psychiatric score, 0.22 is kind of a typical cutoff. We had 80% of folks above that on the score. And dual diagnosis with mental health, substance abuse, of course. Looking HIV specific, one of the things back at the time of the study, who should be on HIV medications is a little somewhat different than who should be now, so the guidelines were somewhat different now. Basically, anybody with HIV would be eligible for treatment with medications. But at that point in time, about three-quarters. Pretty connected with HIV providers. Three-quarters of folks had an HIV provider. And 37% of folks on medications, which kind of reflects things on the time. When we jump ahead to after release, I'm going to share that with you. You'll notice that some of these numbers are roughly the same. Of those folks who were on medication, about 85% of folks were what we call medication compliant, reporting they were taking more than 90% of medication, and 34% of the overall 70 were suppressed. Just jumping ahead a little bit. So if you look at the left-hand column, the total column here, and compare with what I just showed you, you can see fairly similar numbers in terms of homelessness, food insecurity. All these things basically did not change, or some of them were actually a little bit worse when folks got out. Looking at HIV provider on HIV medication, the folks on HIV, we had more increase in folks on medication and an increase in folks who are virally suppressed. So this is the main thing that we were seeing in terms of an improvement, was actual improvement in viral suppression from a combination of multiple pieces leading up to that. Jumping back, this is 30 days after folks got out. So we have about 69% of the folks accessing care. And what we wanted to look at was whether or not the intervention and the intensity of the intervention made a difference. So here we're looking at kind of a dose-related effects. More enhanced contact with case management and mental health versus less. And if you look through everything, we're not seeing a whole lot of significance here in terms of change, other than non-HIV care being accessed. Jumping ahead to the six-month point, the spot where we saw the difference was actually in viral load suppression. So here we had the folks with more visits having more viral load suppression. And if you go back, what we kind of making sense of this, the folks who had more visits were also the folks who had more trouble with housing, homelessness, mental health. So perhaps the degree of intensity of case management related to these other things, which reflected seeing more case management with more severity of these markers, may have been of benefit in terms of achieving more compliance with medication, more folks on medication, and more success with medication. So putting this in perspective, this is the HIV engagement and care cascade, where we're looking at the whole country and looking at out of everybody with HIV, some are diagnosed. Of those folks who are diagnosed, some are linked to care. Of those linked to care, some are retained. Some are started on medication, and some are successful with medication, having their viral load fully suppressed. If you look nationally, you can see that folks with injection drug use here, the middle graph number 2, 3, and 4, folks are a little bit more diagnosed than non-injection drug use risk factors. And then there's some variation in terms of overall success with viral suppression. So comparing where we sit with the national picture, I included here on the slide from the same time period, the entire country, male injection drug use, female injection drug use, and then our experience. Now our outcomes are a little bit different definitions, so to some degree this is apples and oranges. But if you march down the overall cascade, we ended up with 39% of folks virally suppressed, which certainly compares favorably to the 24 to 31% seen nationally. In this, we were assigning a negative, assuming not suppressed, to the folks that we were not able to follow up with. So in terms of this process, there's certainly plenty of challenges in this population, and one of the basics is meeting the needs such as housing, food, basic things first, because as one client said, if I don't have a place to stay, then I really don't care if I'm not seeing my therapist or not showing up for my HIV appointments. And one of the mental health clinicians. So now I can't ignore these pieces when a client tells me, I don't have the money to go grocery store shopping. If you have no place to sleep or eat, you can't walk into the next chapter. So what worked in this model? So in terms of intensive case management, these are some of the basics here and the kind of a jail connection program, but for us, scheduling an appointment was extremely important. So as compared to just having an address to show up and come on in, having that appointment in place was very helpful for folks. This is both with HIV and without HIV. Trying to coordinate care, so we would have the case manager, the mental health clinician, Suboxone treatment, physician, as much as possible, all on the same day of treatment. The sooner the appointment, really the better. So within 7 days was what we're shooting for. Probation, parole, and day reporting. Day reporting is an ankle bracelet program. That monitoring, really, since we could work together with them, would help connect folks with care as well. And then the personal connection. So in the community, if an appointment was missed, they knew who the case manager was, they knew my first name basis, they could just call them up. Barriers, this is jail, so folks are often released without notice. So if we thought we had a release date, we would often schedule two appointments, one before the release date, because folks are often released sooner. And mental health care, this is both kind of one of the barriers and conclusions. The traditional mental health care does not work, so we had appointments in the community available, but it did not end up working that most of the clients would do a 50-minute hour meet in the office. So doing the mental health care on the fly in other settings, perhaps home visits, in the medical clinic, phone support, and having a flexible scheduling was very key. And out of all this, we felt this was, you know, good further evidence for the role of intensive case management. Whoops. Of intensive case management in the jail setting, and we're fortunate to have other folks in the room who are doing some of this intensive case management from New York. So I will wrap up there, and I would love to have some discussion about this. Thank you. So, thanks to multiple folks, Hennepin County, the SPINS Collaborative, the HRSA-funded grant sites, and patients, the MHANCE program, and Allison Jordan, who's sitting right there, has been a partner in this on the New York end of things. Thank you. Questions? I would add that along these lines, for further information, the HRSA SPINS site, if you go online there, we've got multi-site data looking at these similar issues. And, for example, with HIV suppression as an outcome, we've got that across multiple sites. And the overall line is that, you know, this is a place where you can have an impact. So there are a number of innovative models that did so impact with this population. There's a manual, there's a bunch of resources. If you just Google HIV linkages, jail linkages, HRSA.
Or the website is www.careacttarget.org/IHIV.
So HRSA for their HIV projects is a whole site devoted to this, not just the jail linkages project, but multiple other special projects. Thank you.